Welcome to the Progressive Property Podcast, helping you invest in property for freedom, choice, and profit. You'll learn new, innovative, and multiple streams of property income, whether you want to start, scale, or systemize, and even if you don't have deposits.
Hi, Kevin McDonald here, and welcome to the Progressive Property Podcast. I'm in my office right now with my staff talking about all things property. So we've just had our morning meeting, and up in the meeting came some issues with tenants. Now, I thought I'd share with you and have a little bit of discussion with my staff around problem tenants, nightmare issues that have happened with tenants. This could put you off property forever. But before it does, remember that there's only five bad tenants in the whole world. The thing is, they do move around a lot, but there's only probably five at any one time. Most tenants are great. If you are a tenant and you're watching this, I love you. My team love you. Most tenants are great, but there is always that nightmare tenant that appears every so often. So my team are shy. They don't want to come on camera, but they are in the background. And I'm going to go straight over them to Rachel and Denise. And Rachel, Denise, share with us some of your recent experiences of bad tenants, how we found that. Were they a good tenant when they originally arrived? Can a good tenant turn bad? Or is a bad tenant always a bad tenant? So give me an example. Who would you like to start with? Probably, by the way, don't use names. No. Don't call them John Smith. No. He was the worst one. 112 High Street. So
nightmare tenants are usually okay for the first few weeks, and then they...
The honeymoon period.
Yes.
That's what it is, a honeymoon period.
Yes. And then they start to show their true colours, be it through alcohol, drugs, their friends, visitors, and it just goes downhill rapidly from there, to be honest.
So you don't spot it initially because they show up for the viewing sober. But move in with a suitcase full of alcohol.
Yes, pretty much.
Okay, so how can you spot, or have you got better over the years? I guess, Rachel, first of all, how long have you been in property?
Oh, blimey, 20 odd years.
Okay, and Denise, how long?
Mine's only just a year. I came out of customer service, so mine's more about the customer relations with the people.
Okay, so in your just over a year and 20 years in property, have you, I guess in the 20 years especially, Rachel, have you got better at identifying a potential bad tenant before they ever move in?
Yes.
Okay.
And it all comes down to the referencing.
Right. So what type of referencing do we do?
We reference them on Let Alliance, don't we?
Yeah, we use a referencing company for them.
But you will always find that a landlord reference doesn't always reflect...
Yeah.
The truth.
So a referencing company, there's lots of them out there, but a referencing company will tell you that they've not missed a payment, etc.
Yeah, yeah. Just the basics.
And then a landlord would tell you the problem. Would it be better to get a reference from their second last landlord rather than their current one?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, the current one's going to want to get rid of them out where they are.
So even though legally, the current landlord's meant to be honest and tell you the truth, but if you've got a bad tenant, they might just happen to say, they're not a bad tenant, please have them, because they want rid of their problem. So is referencing companies and a landlord reference enough to rely on, or should we stalk them a little bit on social media as well?
Definitely.
Stalk them.
Stalk
your potential new tenant. You know that tenant that shows up and says, do you have pets? No, I don't have any pets.
Yes.
And then you go on their Facebook and they've got two cats, a dog, a gerbil, a snake.
They're the ones.
So they move in. Give me an example of a tenant that we have moved in that...
Can I give you an example of my own personal worst?
Your own personal worst. Give me a... Oh, you can't give me a yes, but I'm giving you a yes for you. Rachel's own personal worst tenant. Was this here or was this elsewhere?
This was elsewhere.
Thank God it was elsewhere. All right, go. Okay,
so I had a 3-bedroom mid-terrace property that was rented by 4 people. They were all males sharing. They were all working. Absolutely fabulous tenants. Passed the referencing gloriously. I went to do the first inspection and no answer at the door. And then I happened to notice that my front room curtains were now in the kitchen at the window. And there was a tiny corner that I looked through. My kitchen was gone. My boiler was gone. My pipework was gone. They'd nailed dead fish to the wall. My house was trashed. And it turns out the guy who was the lead tenant went back to his home country, took a load of money off the other people that were living there, and they trashed it.
The other people trashed it because he took off with their money?
Yes.
So basically, a guy moved into the house, four of them moved in, but one person was the lead tenant collecting rent from everybody else.
Yep.
Right, so as an agency, the agency worked for, not mine, when they moved in, was it a single let tenancy where they sublet the other rooms, or was it actually really four separate tenancies?
It was the lead tenant,
yep.
And then they were permitted occupiers.
Permitted occupiers. So the lead tenant was the one paying the rent to the agency.
Yes.
And then he was collecting money. So he probably was paying monthly to the agency,
yep.
Collected 6 months up front from the other
yep.
tenants, and then disappeared.
Yes.
Wow. Okay. So even if you've got permitted occupiers, you probably want to let them know that, as a learning, that the lead tenant is only paying monthly. So if you've got that lead occupier and you've got them collecting rent from other tenants, always make sure that you're not just leaving it to them, and you make sure the other tenants are aware of the situation. Still do your regular inspections. Obviously you did do the regular inspection, but when you showed up for the inspection, you inspected that everything was gone. So he took off with all their money, and they decided, well, they probably thought he was the landlord.
Yeah.
And trashed the house.
Yeah.
I had one, by the way, where we had a tenant in a property who got in a house of multiple occupation. And this was quite recently. I'm not sure if it was before you guys, but no, it was just before you arrived. 122 Newcastle Avenue, the reason why we're doing it up.
Oh, right, yeah.
So the guy with the girlfriend.
Yes, that's right, yeah. Yeah. So, Dylan told me about that.
So a guy moved into the property. He was renting one of the rooms in the property. His girlfriend used to pop around, not staying there, popped around. He got in an argument with his girlfriend, and she went away, got a golf club, and came back and smashed all the windows of the house to get back at him for the argument. Even though it's not his house, and it's not his windows. And the argument was nothing to do with me. So, very similar, would these tenants have trashed somebody else's house, thinking that they're getting back at the... at the person, but they're not getting back at the person because it's not his house in the first place. So, property is, I was told once that property is like a haircut. When you get a bad one, it's okay because it just grows back. Mine never grew back. So, what other ones? Give me another bad example. Oh, tell us about the one with the vomit.
Yes.
Oh, please share. Please share. Before we share this, I'd just like to point out, well, we have over 300 tenancies, and very rarely do we have a bad one. So we're going to hit you with loads of bad examples of tenants here. The worst case scenarios of what has happened in 10 plus, 20 plus years in property. So don't let this put you off property. Just let it prepare you.
Preparation, because for the worst.
The reality is right now, somewhere on this planet, somebody is nicking something out of a Tesco.
Yes.
Tesco still works. It still makes you money. But so property still works, but you have to be prepared for the bad one. This one is a pretty bad one. Go, who'd like to share? And speaking about preparation, before we share this, this is a little trigger warning. This will be about vomiting and some other bodily fluid that might make you a bit sick. And if my comment made you a bit sick, just put some music on for a couple of seconds and then come back. Go.
So we had a call from the other tenants of the property. We arrived, mob handed, didn't we?
Yes, myself and another colleague went.
Found that somebody was virtually passed out.
Yes, he was.
Covered in their own
vomit
and poo.
Yeah.
And the brand new carpet was swimming in it. Not only his room was rolling around in his own fluids.
Yeah, yeah.
We had to buy him.
We had new to
change
bedding. The bed. The bed was absolutely ruined, full of bodily fluids all over.
Yeah.
a sheet on it. It was filthy.
Is this one of the situations where having a mattress protector is just not enough?
No, you could have had a plastic whatever on there. No way would it have protected anything on there. And you've got like the vomit at the side of the bed. I think it had been there a few days, so it had like started going furry. Just to let everybody know, it was that old. And it, the smell is...
Let me know in the comments, by the way, if you've ever seen furry vomit.
Yes.
Yeah, if it's hung around for long enough to see furry vomit. And if you want, did you get pictures?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, you did? If you'd like to see furry vomit, go over to the Progressive Property YouTube channel. We'll upload this video and we might include some of the photographs of the furry vomit. Just in case there's any of you that don't get ill looking at stuff. What else? What happened? What did we do? How do we fix the room?
Well, when he vacated, literally bag everything and burn it.
Before that, we did have to change the bed, though, Rachel,
yes,
didn't we?
Yes, we did.
We could not leave that guy, because we still have some sort of duty of care, even to the bad tenants. So we couldn't leave that guy in that bed, in that room. So he had to have a brand new bed, brand new mattress, quilt cover, pillows, sheet. Even though he did it again to the second bed, but we still had to change that bed.
So this tenant obviously had alcohol abuse issues.
Yes.
And he needed professional help.
Yes. Yeah. So then tried to get in professional help, but obviously we couldn't. There's only a certain amount of things we could do. We went up to the local health centre up there and tried to get him help and that. So there was things that we didn't try and do for him. In fact, even on the day that I went with my colleague, we had to call an ambulance because he started having a sort of like a seizure on the bed. So on the nice dirty bed. Mm. So and then the ambulance people had to come. They said it's just alcohol dependency that he's got.
And obviously we didn't kick him out, but he moved on to council housing or something. What did he move on to?
I don't know where he's gone.
I don't know. Right. His brother came, didn't he?
Oh, his brother came and took him. Yes. Right, okay.
Yeah. So I think maybe family took him back.
Right.
What was the kind of conversation that you had to get him to move on? Because obviously you didn't want to keep him.
I think when we issued him with his notice.
Yeah, we had to give him that. We did have him in Section 21.
Expecting it.
Yeah.
We didn't get any argument, and he moved out without any trouble, left the keys on the windowsill.
I think a lot of people as well, by the way, when you have a bad tenant, that's not actually really a bad tenant. That's a tenant with a problem. And really, as landlords, we're not social workers, even though sometimes we become social workers. It's not our responsibility to be professionals to deal with people with alcohol, substance abuse, etc. So call the family, get the family involved, and really get the family to help them. And a lot of these people, there's two types of bad tenant. The bad tenant that is causing issues in a property, like from alcohol or substance abuse, where they're actually a good person, but they have a bad problem. And then there's the bad tenant who are purposely causing problems, such as antisocial behaviour, not paying the rent, etc. And when you have a tenant who's just got alcohol or substance abuse, they actually kind of feel embarrassed by what they've done.
Yeah.
And they don't want to be causing a problem to you and the rest of the household. So they'll go get professional help, or their family will make them go get professional help, and their family are embarrassed by it. So they're good people with a substance abuse problem. They're actually the, even though they cause the biggest mess, they're the easiest to solve, because you don't typically have to go to court to remove them. And at the end of the day, it's a business decision. You can't, if you allowed that person to continue to stay in your property, all the other tenants would leave. And this is a business at the end of the day. You want to provide good, clean accommodation for people, but it is a business decision at the end of the day. So those people will move on, but a family will typically want to help them anyway. Now there's a second type of bad tenant, which is so that's the good bad tenant. Then there's the bad, bad tenant. Have we had any bad, bad tenant examples?
Yeah.
Yes.
That think they own
the aggressive
the building,
ones, which are the more difficult ones to deal with, because they always are in the right. So it's hard to deal with those when you go up, and they cause a problem for the other tenants. So when you go up to confront them and talk to them about what's happening, and like the noise, because they're playing music at 1 o'clock in the morning, they're arguing because they've got somebody round, and they're fighting and arguing. And then when you go and see them, they're the man, aren't they? So that's the harder tenant to get rid of.
Really. So this is the one that doesn't respect the other tenants in the property if it's a house of multiple occupation, or doesn't respect the neighbours if it's a single let. They've got loud music on in the middle of the night. They
Police have been called round because
numerous times.
Other tenants have had to call the police right. because they've been arguing and fighting. They're the more difficult tenants, really, aren't they?
Okay, what type of conversations would they have, or would you have with those?
Every conversation you have with these kind of tenants are different because you have to judge it really well.
Because you can end up at the other end of their backlash because they are, at the end of the day, a violent person.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there is a little bit of, you have to be a bit more cautious with those ones.
We normally go in as good two cop, people. Bad cop.
Yes, that's what we normally do.
We do.
I like how you called yourself the bad cop.
Yes, always.
Yeah, always.
So we've got a notice board in all of our houses and multiple occupation HMOs. Got a notice board and it's got all the house rules. We do that in different languages as well because we have different tenants. Yeah. We do it in various different languages. Mm-hmm. Copy of the certificates, gas, electric, and then basic house rules like no music before 7 or after 11.
Yes, that's normally.
And that's like, even if you're in a, you might be saying, oh, well, that's babysitting a tenant. Well, if you were in a single let property as a family home or you were a homeowner, you probably wouldn't have loud music on. And if you were, you'd inform your neighbour that you're going to have a party.
Yes.
So like where I live, our neighbours had a wedding in their back garden and they came to us about a month before and said, we're going to have a wedding. Do you want to come along? But also let you know, because if it's a one-off thing, great. The problem is when it's every single night, when it's all the time, when there's parties every night, that turns into the antisocial behaviours type stuff. Smoking, any type of smoking in a property should be disallowed because you could burn the house down and you're putting other people at risk. Nicking each other's food, that's a big one. Somebody stole my milk. So just some basic house rules around respecting the other people within the property. And then if somebody feels that they can have music on at midnight every single night and that they can shout and scream at their partner every single night.
Because remember, that's that one tenant. You have the other tenants, which are the good tenants.
Yeah.
And they're the people that we want to keep, the good tenants.
Yeah.
We don't want to keep the bad tenants.
And if you don't actually deal with the bad tenant quite quickly, the good ones will leave.
Yes.
And then what will happen if the good one leaves is you attract more bad ones because like attracts like, and now you get a bigger problem. So you got to stamp it out quite quickly with the rules. So to immediately look at stamping it out, immediately tell people what's happening. Don't give the tenant an inch, because if you do, they'll take a mile. So firm but fair would be the message. I know we've been talking a lot about nightmare tenants and bad tenants, but we are live in my office on the high street. The door's open, tenants are walking in, and we've just had an example of an amazing tenant. So somebody who's been with me for over 9 years. Before I had the office, before I had staff, and myself and my wife used to do all of the property management ourselves. Georgetta was one of our tenants. She's just popped into the office to get some electric cards and sort out her rent. And I haven't seen her in about 5 years. So really, really amazing. My wife used to love her, so I got her on the phone. There is some amazing tenants out there. So I know we're in the middle of a podcast all about nightmare tenants, but the reality is that there's more good tenants like that lady than there is bad tenants. The nightmare tenants will sometimes slip through the net, or a good tenant could turn into a nightmare. But many tenants are good tenants for 9+ years. So that's why I do this, because the good tenants deserve good homes, the bad tenants, we move them on quickly. Another nightmare tenant example. What else have we got?
The ones that turn your house into a cannabis farm.
Okay, so there's the ones that smoke cannabis in their bedrooms, and then there's the ones that actually grow it in the house.
Yeah.
So,
I had a property in Lincoln, which was rented for, I think it was about 4 weeks, and we needed to do the gas safe certificate.
Yep.
So we went with the plumber and put the key in the door. They'd changed all the locks, blocked up all the windows, and I thought, oh, this is going to be bad. So I went round the back, looked through the kitchen window. There was a guy in the kitchen. He would not let me in. So I had to go back with the locksmith and the entire property, top to bottom, was full of little growing plants in pots. So we caught it early, but they'd still
drilled holes in the walls and
through the walls for the pipework, put all the lighting in.
Disconnected the electric?
4 weeks, yeah. Yeah, wow. We had to get Western Power out and put the power back.
So that's where the regular inspections comes in, really, isn't it? So you can catch things like that.
Quite often with those type of tenants, they'll offer you 6 months rent up front or a year's rent up front.
Just try and stop you from going to visit the property.
Some of them have got very blazing and they'll even post now on Gumtree or Facebook or reply to your message going that they'll give you extra just to have the house. Yeah. Never take that. Now you are complicit in what they are doing, and you could face some handcuffs and jail time. So it's never worth it. Apart from the fact your house could burn down because they'll bypass the electrics and your house could burn down, the building's insurance won't pay out. The extra rent every month is just not worth it. And they will always leave your house in a complete mess. The money they're making is phenomenal. The risk you're taking is even more phenomenal. Avoid it if you can. Any cannabis grow houses, they're just not worth it. And I see them so often with people where their properties are trashed because they have a zero tolerance policy. I had one of my staff, a guy went round to view the house with them. So we went out on a viewing, and this was Dylan, went out on a viewing, wanted to go around the property, look at the property with this person. And while they were in the property, walking around the property, they offered my staff member some money to take the property. And he said, no. And they literally chucked the money, about 80 quid, on the stairs of the house, just chucked some cash on the stairs of the house and walked out the door and said, let me know when you're ready. So what we did was we basically just kept that money in the safe and we used it for the Christmas staff party, but they did not get the house. So be very careful. And also if you have got staff members, ladies, make sure that you do crossover inspections of properties. So if one person's doing all the inspections all the time, that person could have been bought by the cannabis grow company. So always make sure that if you've got a normal inspector, that every so often or randomly you do some inspections yourself, or you get a different staff member to do the inspections, and that'll just mean that you won't have a specific person responsible for additional income streams, shall we say. Any other examples?
Animals.
Please.
Human animals. Human animals are animals.
Animals.
But pets are not allowed.
No. Oh, they're never allowed, are they? But yes.
Yeah, this was another one of my own horror stories.
Right.
The back bedroom of my property had been used as the dog's house. I had to take up the floor and treat underneath,
reseal it,
and put new boards down because they were soaked in
animal stuff.
Yeah, the back garden was gravel, and we literally had to get a cement mixer and shovel it all in to clear all the dog poo. All mixed in the gravel.
Do we still have a cat out Watson Road? 107 Watson, or is it gone now? Gone. Okay, so back in 2020 during the lockdown, before year time, the tenants, because nobody was working, the tenants bought a cat between them and got a cat to the property.
Right, no, I'm not seeing that.
And then, so we have a six bedroom property, six tenants in the property, or five or six at the time. During the lockdown, they decided to purchase a cat amongst them so that they could have something to do during the day or play with the cat or whatever. Over the following 18 months to 2 years, between 2020 and 2022, each of the six tenants who bought the cat all left, but the cat stayed because nobody owned the cat. So I don't know what's happened to the cat. If anybody knows, let me know. But the tenants bought a cat, all left, and left the cat. So we inherited a cat, or the new tenants in the property inherited a cat, and that cat obviously stayed or was looked after, and probably one of the future tenants may have took that cat with them, but there was literally a cat there after all the tenants went.
Well, the tenants could leave a property, Kevin, and leave the fleas behind.
Or fleas. We've had a few of those.
Cat fleas are
worse than cats.
Tenants have gone.
Because what will typically happen with a lot of tenants is they will get a cat, and then what they'll do is they'll not look after the cat, they'll not pay for defleeing of the cat, and then the tenant flees. And the cat fleas stay.
Not tenant fees, yeah. Tenant fleas.
Tenant fees and tenant fleas.
The office twice because we'd been to a property, not realising, came back, and you can literally see them jumping all over.
But there's a previous YouTube video, by the way, if you're on YouTube, there's a previous YouTube video, you could probably watch it here, where you can see me getting defleed outside of a house, a new one we purchased, not one the tenants were in, and we went in to do a video to show the property and the condition it was in, and then I noticed, because I was wearing a lightly white shirt, I noticed that there was things walking on me. So I had to stand outside the house for ages until somebody from the office came back and defleed us. But yeah, we do bring some little guests back to the office sometimes.
So I think the worst one with animals is when...
And now I'm itching.
And leave dogs or cats behind locked in the house.
Yeah.
I've had that quite a lot. And having to ring the RSPCA and get them to come and remove animals. Because they just, I mean, some of them, they're there for days. And it's normally the ones that don't tell you they're leaving. And then obviously you go to check the property.
And their animals just left there. It's crazy.
Rescue workers, everything else.
Yeah. So it's phenomenal.
These are the bad stories, though, to be fair. They're not
fleas
all like
are definitely.
So we've had cannabis, we've had fleas. When I say we, a lot of these are experienced stories from, not here, but the fleas we've had many times. We, cannabis, Rachel had in a previous job. We've had tenants... soiling the rooms, we've had a lot of that. We've had tenants causing antisocial behaviour, parties, loud music, fights with their partners regularly. We've had the golf clubs. And we've had great tenants like the lady that's just walked into the office and spoke to us as well. So let me know in the comments. Have you had any nightmare tenant scenarios? Have you had any great tenants? Let us know in the comments your nightmare tenant story. If you're listening to this on the Progressive Property Podcast, make sure you head over to the YouTube channel, Progressive Property on YouTube, subscribe to the channel and watch the pictures of the soiled property and the blurred out vision of my shy staff. So, make sure you've subscribed to the podcast. We are out every single Tuesday. We're on iTunes and Stitcher. Do not miss future episodes. I've been Kevin McDonald. They've been Rachel and Denise. You've been amazing. And I'll see you next time.